Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. Just two verses, verse 1 and 2. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honour. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for your people who have come out this evening. For those, Father, that are unable to be here, and for those who are away on holiday or wherever they may be, we pray your blessing on them. But for us here, Father, we pray for your hand to be with us, that you'd lead me through your word and help me to break the bread of life. Lord, open our eyes and let us behold, Lord, what is right and what is wrong. And we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would speak and speak loud and clear into our hearts. We love you and we worship you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening we want to speak on the believer's vote. We know here in Northern Ireland there's a vote coming up this week, an election where you'll vote, and it might be helpful for you if you can think of who or what you should be looking at to vote for. I know there's some Christians will say, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't vote for, didn't Jesus say, my kingdom is not of this world? Yes, he did. But he told us that we are to occupy until he comes. And I think that when we think of Christ, we think of our faith. When we think of Christianity, we think of the religion of the faith. And when we think of Christendom, we think of Christ's domain in the earth, where we are in these Christian nations that we live in, even post-Christian nations that we are in. Solomon, in his wisdom, instructs the reader and the hearer in simple, basic, practical, yet profound terms on the subject of how foolishness disgraces the wise man's honour, and how small things, little encroachments, can become large and can become dominant, and can become the ruin of a soul, the ruin of a heart, the ruin of one's faith, the ruin of one's society, the ruin of a nation, and even in those who are in political parties. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savour. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honour. Was the Lord warning Solomon? Was the Lord telling him, even although it speaks to us this evening, was he warning Solomon here as he wrote this? Was the Lord warning him before Solomon that there are little flies in the ointment, Solomon? Be careful how Israel goes. Solomon, little folly, you have a reputation. Even the Queen of Sheba would come to look and to hear of how your kingdom is. And a little folly in your reputation will bring your reputation down. And was this, after all, before or after Solomon's great demise before God? So we'll look at it for a few moments, for I think it's important when we delve into these things. In 1 Kings chapter 4, and if you're writing, we'll just go with a couple of verses, but if you're writing, you can read from verses 29 to verse 34. But in verse 29, it says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largest of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And then in 1 Kings 4, 32, it says, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. There is Solomon with his proverbs and his songs. In 1 Kings chapter 11, we're told, in verse 1, but Solomon loved many strange women. And here comes Solomon's downfall when he allows the flesh, he allows his own thinking to take him away from that which God has placed in him. We need to take heed, even in our individual lives, but take heed whether it be a political party, take heed whether it even be our full government and the laws of this land to be made, to that all of these things draw away from the flesh and their own thinking, their own lusts, their own desires and their own wills are taking our nation away from God more and more and increasingly more. And Solomon loved many strange women. In verse 2 of 1 Kings chapter 11, it says, in the end of the verse, Solomon clave to these in love. Notice Solomon's heart. Solomon, whose heart was for the Lord, now his heart is turned from the Lord, and he claved to these women, these non-Israelite women. He claved to them in love. You know what happens? With that which you love, it becomes your treasure. The Lord Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure tonight, friend, brothers and sisters? Let us check ourselves to see where our treasure is. Our treasure should be in heaven. Our treasure is Christ himself. In 1 Kings 11 and verse 3, it says of Solomon, he had 700 wives, princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Think about this. His wives turned away his heart. And then in verse 5, it says, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. What a difference. And when Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, guess what happened? The nation followed suit. Solomon, who was on the throne of David. Solomon, whose throne, the throne of David, was called the throne of Jehovah. Now the throne of Jehovah has become corrupted. Now the throne of Jehovah has become a throne for sin, idolatry, and despicable acts before God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 1, we have dead flies and a little folly. And this is all it takes to destroy or to render useless that which it enters. There is no indication that Solomon ever repented of his idolatry, of his idol worship, nor did he tear down these pagan, godless idols and altars. He had built and worshipped that with his wives. Think about this. All of these altars had come into the land. This false religion had come into the land. And that which was the head of state is wicked before God. So it must be concluded that he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes while under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God and in the gift of wisdom which God had given him. He writes it for you and for me. Yet he adhered not to the word of the Lord to himself. It all ended in the breakup of Israel's united kingdom. It all ended in the breakup of Israel's united kingdom. Solomon, writing this under the influence of the Spirit and in the God-given wisdom that he had given him, doesn't adhere to what God had told him himself and ends up going wrong. And Israel's kingdom is broken up. Here's what I want to say in a national aspect for a moment. What way is this united kingdom we are in? Used to be a kingdom you could be proud of. And now it's a kingdom of sin and shame. From the very top to the very bottom. Idolatry. Idolatry from the very king himself. Idolatry in Westminster, in Stormont here. What a state this nation is in tonight. what state United Kingdom is in. It's tragic. Solomon didn't adhere on the nation of Israel. The United Kingdom broke up. Could it be that this will happen again? A judgment from God will come because of their sin. And he will break up the United Kingdom because of the sin of this people. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 18 says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Read it again. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Let me give you a quick example, if you'll turn with me to Joshua. The book of Joshua, please, chapter 7. Israel are on the march into Canaan land across the great river, and now they're in the homeland of Jehovah. They are his bride brought into the marital home, and yet there are enemies there who are to be vanquished and put out. And they're unstoppable because they're walking before God. God is blessing them as a nation because they're walking before God. And the Lord says to wipe everyone out in their path, to eradicate the sin. And he says this to them. He says to take nothing. And Joshua says, all the riches you find, everything that comes, bring it here. It must come to one pile, basically, that it is put to the right or wrong use and destroyed. And so there's a man called Achan. And just for time's sake, let's read verse 20. You see, Israel have went to a little city called Ai, just a small group. They're so powerful, they're so mighty, and they are defeated. Verse 20 says this, of chapter 7. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Notice this, this is important. When I was among the spoils, a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and the wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. Achan took all of the gold and silver that he could get his hands on, brought it into the midst of his tent in privacy, dug a hole in the ground, and put it in the ground. And the sin of it, God saw. Israel were defeated at Ai, and they're looking for the reason. Why was their greatness now taken from them? Where was God in all of this? And Achan says, I have sinned, and I've hid it under my tent. I took the gold and silver. But notice this, verse 21. When I saw among the spoils a goodly, notice the word, goodly Babylonish garment. Now Babylon is that place where the mystery religions of everything ungodly, everything demonic, everything satanic comes from. Babylon throughout the scriptures are the enemy of God's people. Right into this day, the system of this world is the Babylonian system. It's through ecumenical worship. It's through the papacy in Rome. It is through the Islamic Mohammedan religion. And it is through the Kabbalist Talmudic Judaism. It is through our world in monetary system, the gold and the silver of the Babylonian banking systems, the WHO and the WEF and the European Union and all of the New World Order and the elites are all part of the Babylonian system. And Achan said, I saw a goodly, notice, a goodly Babylonish garment. I want that for my covering. I'll wear that. And that's what's happening to our nation. There are those who have their eye on nothing but pay packet. have their eye on what they can get, have their eye on privilege and place and power, and all they want is me, myself, and I in our land and in our nation. They care nothing about the people. And what they want in the nation is they see a goodly Babylonish garment and they're wearing it in the midst of Israel, and Israel were defeated. That's what's happening in the United Kingdom tonight. There are too many people have put on, too many churches too many pastors have put on a Babylonish garment, the Babylonish system, and they have allowed it to overtake everything. Society dictates in the pew and the pulpit. They put on a Babylonish garment, the garment that is not of God. Their heart is turned away like Solomon's after other things. And now the very government have done the same. Tonight we're going to look at the state of our nation. One sinner destroyeth much good, says Solomon. And look, Solomon, what happened to united Israel. Take note, one sinner, little dead flies, a little folly. One sinner destroys good. Dead flies causes a stink, and a little folly ruins a good reputation. And also in 1 Corinthians 5 and 6 and Galatians 5 and 9, Paul says that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I'm going to say something. I know people are going to think that I'm mad, totally nuts altogether. Well, it doesn't really matter because they already think that anyway. Now, listen, I personally believe that a floodgate was opened 4 years ago. A spiritual floodgate was opened across the world. A spiritual floodgate was opened in the nations, in the governments of this world. A spiritual gate was opened, and a little flies, the little bits at a time, has come in like a flood. It has ruined the apothecary. There's a stinking savour has grown. A little folly has destroyed reputation, and the leaven is leavening the whole lump. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but in our nation, all I see everywhere now is anti-Christ system. Everywhere, this anti-Christ system, and it's in your political parties. So this is why it's important of the believer's vote. In Ephesians 4 and verse 27, speaking on the Christian or the church doing right, living right, and even speaking right, Paul warns us, you and I, personally and publicly, he says, neither give place to the devil. The constructing of the Greek text here, neither give place to the devil, it gives the idea of forbidding, notice, the continuance of an action that's already going on. Do you know what's wrong with the church? The church has put on this Babylonian garment to be like the world. The church has no longer stood up and said, thus far and no further to the enemy. They've rolled over, they've cowed down, they've pulled a duvet over their heads, they've accepted the bribe of money, whether that be to close down or to lock down and to stay shut, or whatever it may be. Christians have become so pacifist in their ways that they think if they take their stand and speak out for Christ, oh, well, they've become afraid and we're pacifists and we don't even vote anymore because, you know, this kingdom is not of my word. And Jesus says, put up your sword. He also says there's a time to go buy a sword. He also said that. And that's why our nation is in the state it's in. Because of the church. We're meant to be the salt. And we're meant to be the light. Notice here neither give place to the devil. This construction in the Greek text gives the idea of forbidding the continual or the continuation of an action that's already going on. Paul is saying, listen, there's an action going on. There's something coming in. It's like the dead flies and the stinking ointment. It's like the little folly and the reputation. It's like the little leaven of the whole lump. It's like the one sinner. It's like all of those things, and they're small. But once it comes in, it destroys it all. And we have allowed it to destroy us all. And I know I'm in for a hiding for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Do you see when they legalized sodomy? There's a dead fly in the ointment. When they legalized what they call same-sex marriage, that was a dead fly in the ointment. And then it went from there. It went from there to all of this LGBTQ, whatever else it is. We've run out of letters. We don't know anymore how long they can go on for. And now it's coming to the place where this little folly in our nation has become, has ruined our reputation. Britain's not great. Even on the world stage, Britain isn't great anymore. They laugh at us. You know why Britain was great? Because they voted right. This construction, Paul is saying in the Greek text, is a continuance of an already going on. Something already is literally happening. Paul is saying, stop giving place. Stop giving place. Neither give place means stop it now while you can. It's going to get worse, brothers and sisters, unless we know what we're doing, unless we know who we are in Christ, unless we know even what and who to vote for. The believer's vote should count. It should make the authorities tremble. But sure, they mock us now. Hear about the Liberal Democrats this last week or two. They had a man up for one of their constituencies, and they just took him out and wiped the man out. You know why? Because he was a Christian. Just because he was a Christian. I wonder, would they do that to a Muslim? Because he was a Muslim. You see, these people hate Christ. And Paul says, neither give place, or in the Greek text, and stop giving place. Stop them now. It's time we kick the devil out. The word place here is the word topos. That means any portion, any territory, any opportunity, any power or occasion for acting in the manner they are acting. And pastors all over the place, I'm not saying in all, but in all over the place, they're too willing and wanting to give a little story telling a sermon on a Sunday. They want to get somebody up and let's get the settee out and we'll sit and have coffee and chat with the people. The only way there's going to be a change in our land and in this nation, the only way there's going to be a turnaround from our sin and our shame is when the pulpits start turning to God and preaching the word again. They're afraid to stand up and to speak out. And Paul says, stop giving them place. Don't let them have any territory. They've taken enough. Or opportunity, or power, or occasion for acting in the manner that they're acting in. So little side slippings, brothers and sisters, leads to a great backsliding. Remember that. And the little side slippings of the Christian can lead to backsliding. But in a national sense, the little side slippings that come into our nation has led to great backsliding.
And 4 years ago, I believe it was as if a portal was opened, a gate was opened for wickedness and sin and uncleanness. And there was a poster, in fact, I sent it to some of you not so long ago. And it was a poster on the LGBT and the trans and all that. You know what was at the bottom of it as well? Mentioning them all, their name. You know what was at the bottom of it? And it was in a window being advertised. Pedophilia. Just people who like children. On their poster. You want to tell me there's no floodgate opened? There's no dead flies or little folly here? So little side slippings lead to great backslidings, and floodgates open on actions from one's thinking. And the floodgates have opened from the action of the thinking and thinking wrong. Sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. Will keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. Listen to these words by the Puritan Thomas Brooks. A boat rows against the stream. The current punishes it. So is a nation violating the law of God. It is subject to a judgment. The boat turns and goes with the stream. The current assists it. So is a nation which has repented and put itself into harmony with God's law. It is subject to a blessing, but the current is the same. It has not changed. Only the boat has changed its relationship to the current. Neither does God change. We change. And the same law which executed itself in punishment now expresses itself in reward. How will Britain be great again? When it turns to God. When she turns to God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, then in verse 2, it says, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. The wise and the fool, the left and the right. Listen to Adam Clark's commentary. The command with which the wise man has over his own mind, feelings, passions, and the prudence with which he acts. That's his right hand. And the left, the want of prudence and management in the fool, who has no restraint on his passions and no rule or guard upon his tongue. In other words, you think you've got to the depths of depravity and sin, and then on the left they go even further. And even Adam Clark is saying, on the left, that is. He's saying they go deeper and further into sin. The right hand and the left are used in Scripture to express good and evil. The wise man is always employed in doing good, and the foolish in nonsense and evil. Now, in your King James Bible, I trust that's your Bible you read from. Your King James Bible, the left hand, the exact phrase is used 28 times, left hand. Left hand, 28 times. On the right hand, the exact phrase is used 167 times. Vastly outweighs it. For example, in Genesis 48 and verse 14, Jacob Israel put his right hand upon Ephraim, across, and then his left on Manasseh. The greater blessing was on the right hand of Joseph's son Ephraim, and the other of Joseph's son Manasseh was the left. And in Exodus 29 and verse 20, the blood of a ram was to be placed upon the right ear, the right thumb, and the big right toe of Aaron and the high priest in Israel. Blood was to be put on the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe. Simply to be sanctified, saying they would hear differently, they would work differently, and they would walk differently. They were set apart, and there's your church. should have the blood applied to the heart, of course, but to the right ear, the right thumb, and to the big toe on the right foot. We should hear differently. And we should work differently. But we should walk differently. Matthew 6 and 3, listen to what the Lord Jesus says. When thou doest thy alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. And you have to wonder, Lord, well, it's our hands, how do we know? What are we meant to do? And the idea is, like, do things in secret, we know that. But the Lord was meaning more than this. He was bringing a deeper meaning into this. He's telling us, you can be as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, why the left will go astray. Don't let them know everything of your secrets. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 34, and then let's just read verse 34 for time's sake. Then shall he say unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He said, on the left hand, the sheep and the goats. He'll say to those on the left, and then those on the right, he say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So, we're going to get into a bit more nitty gritty now. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 2, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Now, you know, I don't use other translations, but sometimes I compare to see what they would say. So forgive me for tonight. I'm going to just give you a few to see what they say. The CBS is the Christian Standard Bible, and it says of this, a wise person's heart goes to the right, but a fool's heart goes to the left. The NIV, it says the heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. So we're sort of getting the idea of this. And the Revised Standard Version says a wise man's heart inclines him toward the right, but the fool's heart toward the left. And the New Living Translation says a wise person chooses the right road, but a fool takes the wrong one. So the left and the right. I could put it like this evening. Not just left and right. I could almost put it like this. Woke and awake. Woke and awake. We know there are left-wing politics, center-ground politics, and right-wing politics. Now, before I go any further, I want to say, I'm not saying all right-wing politics are right and all left-wing politics are wrong, because most of those who claim to be right-wing politics, conservative right-wing even, they're more left than they are right. Many of them have jumped ship and moved over. So let's look at this. Where did this come from, the left and the right? Well, the term was coined during the time of the French Revolution from 1787 till 1799. The seating arrangement in the French National Assembly, those who sat on the left generally opposed the ancien regime and the Bourbon dynasty, in other words, the monarchy, and supported the revolution, the creation of a democratic republic. And listen, they supported the secularization of society. They wanted to be secular, a secular society. Already you can hear it in today, can't you? It's come right through. The secularization of schools, the secularization of colleges, the secularization of everything. That's on the left. And it was right back at the time of the French Revolution. Those who were on the right were supportive of traditional institutions by the late 19th century. The left wing was applied to those who were unorthodox in their religious and political views. The lobbyist groups today, like Antifa, like the BLM, like the feminist movement, like the LGBT plus, like those who claim abortion rights, rather, there's no rights for a child. the multiculturalism and all their gods like Solomon's wives, non-Israelite. Environmental movement, the Green parties and all that sort of stuff. And all other political parties on that side, they encroach into the church. Think about this church, all of those parties that are going to be up for election. There's an election coming up in the United States and they have the same problem. So they can, I know there's people from the United States listen to us every week, morning and evening. So you can apply it in the United States yourself. But you think about this. You think of these parties. Where do they stand on the left? On the abortion issue and the murder of children in the womb. In fact, some of them even stand to the point of murder right up to birth. And actually fight for that to happen. Where are they in the relationships, sex education coming in to pervert our children's minds? Where are they? Even the so-called centrist parties. Where are they? Yes, I know there's constitutional issues. I have constitutional issues too. You have constitutional issues. But where are they in these issues? As a Christian, as a believer, where are they in these issues? Where are they when they are bringing men dressed as women in to teach their children? Come on, think about this. Your grandchildren. Where are those parties? Where's their stance on it? Where's their stance on the abortion, the RSE? Where's their stance on the nuclear family? The heterosexual family? All biblical principles, where are they? Where do they stand with this? Where do they stand with the preaching of the word in public? Paul says, neither give place to the devil, or it's something already happening. He's saying, stop them now. It's time to say no. No surrender to them. Hollister heard that for years. Listen, the south of Ireland. The south of Ireland, and they have their, what they say, they're Irish volunteers. It's overrun. Ireland belongs to Europe. Ireland's just like a border county now of a European Union. They've lost everything they say they fought for. In fact, I remember I preached on the European issue years ago when they brought the first referendum in down south, and the people of the south said no. You know what they said in Europe? Must try harder, do it again. Who remembers that? Anybody remember that? Yeah. Must try harder. You know why? They're totalitarian. You know what's that got to do with spiritual matters? It's politics. Listen, all of this is driven by spirits. Revelation 16, coming into 17, and then into chapter 18, speaks of the fall of Babylon, and it's all Babylon. They've put on the Babylonish garment. And the West, as Israel fell, the West is falling. The West is falling. There's a troubler in Israel. Brothers and sisters, these movements come into the church and start telling us how we can preach, what we can preach, when we can preach. And you know the sad thing is, many of the churches are afraid to preach. They're afraid. I'm not brave, by the way. Maybe I'm stupid. I'm more stupid than brave, to be honest. And before I write this, you know, I'm thinking for days. I wrote this last week. Not that week past, but the week before. And I says, Lord, why me? But if you give it to me, I'll preach it. You and I are to occupy, not comply, to that which takes away from God's worship and word. We are to occupy till, come on, shout it out, till he come. As far as I know, he hasn't come back or we're all in trouble. Till he come. Come on, Christian. Listen, the encroachment into the church is getting greater, and it did come in through the, if you want, and I have to say it, even sometimes the Roman Catholic Church takes more of a stand in certain individual priests than their own Anglican Protestant churches on abortion issues. You have to give it to them. They do. Socialist, communist Marxism comes in when the church has weak leadership and allows the socialist, communist, and Marxist to have sway in the pew. That's why, I don't know if you're saying, or maybe it's, I know some of you are, but maybe some of you are not aware of this. There's churches every week who have transgender people. I was going to say something else there. Transgender people taking their services. Who's seen that? Come on, it's not just me. It's all over the place. Taking their services. Do you know what that should be put across the top of every one of those churches? Ichabod. 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 The glory is departed. The glory is gone. Failure in these revolutions in Germany and Hungary in 1918 to 1920 ended in the Bolsheviks' hopes. The Bolshevik Revolution started in 1917 in Russia, taking the Communist Manifesto of Marxism. Starting the war, they slaughtered millions of professing Christians. And then they wanted it to extend, but in Germany and Hungary it failed. Now listen to this, this is important. And their hopes of that imminent world revolution led to the promotion of socialism in one country by Joseph Stalin. So let me put that into plain language for you. They failed in Germany. The World War came, of course. They failed in Germany, and they failed across that region. Stalin comes up with a new form of communism, and it's one country, one big Soviet bloc. And, of course, after the Second World War, we had the USSR. It was Russia, then the USSR. There was a little man called Mao Zedong, and he was a student, and he comes, and he takes communism and brings it to the People's Republic of China. And there was a war with the Chinese nationalists who wanted to reject it. And Mao Zedong, he then was the victor. And that's why you have communist China. Those who would flee from their lives from that war in China, where did they flee to? Taiwan. Taiwan is known as the second China. And who wants Taiwan? And where's the war at the minute going to be over if they don't stop it? In Taiwan. That's why America are in Taiwan. The communism, and people say we have to look there, and the North Korea, yes we do. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters. The spirit, these evil spirits like devils from Revelation 16, is not only in Russia, and it's not only in China, and it's not only in North Korea. It's in Northern Ireland. It's in Stormont. It's in Westminster. It's in the Doyle. but it's in a different form, but it's a totalitarian. Totalitarianism is what they're trying to bring in. That's why 4 years ago, the totalitarianism was starting to show itself. We'll tell you how to live. We'll tell you how far you can go out for a walk. Who remembers that? We'll tell you how far you can go for a drive. No thing is, see, when they lifted all of these things, I heard people over the place going, oh, it was great, I got out for a drive. And we went up, you know, awesome way to Portrush and everything, the whole way through it. There's nobody else there. It was great. I sort of felt a wee bit sad because I didn't get the euphoria of being let out. You know, and this isn't over. This isn't over. They're starting to raise the stakes again. The sovereignty of our nation as to what the what happens in like of a pandemic, so-called, is now being given to the WHO. They own us. And they have to call it, and our government has to obey it. Here's the thing. Boys, a dear, time's slow. I'll have to hurry up. This doctrine of socialism, of Joseph Stalin, was one country at a time. But listen, Leon Trotsky was a Ukrainian Jew, but he was a communist. And Leon Trotsky decided that it had to be, ready, that communism had to be international. Had to be international. And so what he started up what's known as the Fourth International Group, or the Fourth International Movement. So they disagreed, Trotsky and Stalin, between themselves. Marxism is a philosophy. Communism is a government based on Marxist principles. The WHO, the WEF, the European Union and United Nations and so on, if you drill down into who they are socialist, communist, Marxist groupings. And every time you see them, you understand this, that what they want is a new world order, a one world government, and totalitarianism in the whole of the nations of the world. They want to build the old Roman Empire again. Guess what? Jesus is coming back. The French left was anti-religion and firmly supported atheism. Think of the left now. I wasn't going to mention some of them, but I will, the parties. Because I thought, maybe it's not fair. I don't care if it's fair or not. I don't like them. So I'm going to mention them. When you think of the Alliance Party, central, is it? You think it is? Alliance Party is more like the yellow pages of Sinn Féin. That's all it is. It's no different. Or leftist. You think of the SDLP. What's the difference? Sure, if you're there, you can, well, maybe you can have your own conscience, but we don't, as a party, want to see the end of abortion. You can, it's up to the person themselves. Listen, I'm going to say it. Because it goes by orange and green. The Ulster Unionists. Rotten to the core. They're rotten to the core. And I know don't worry. No. I've had one or two dealings with some of them recently and they haven't been favourable to me, put it like that. that haven't been favorable to me. Not one of them have been favorable. So then we have to look, and even some individually. And I know there's a constitutional issue with some people, but there are good people, for example, in the DUP, who are anti-abortion. Anti-abortion. Stood against RSE coming to the schools, believe in the nuclear family. Many of them Christians. I know there's some that have went an awful wrong way. I understand that. But if your candidate, there's the TUV as well, but if your candidate is someone like that, it's time to say, no more. We need people in there who's going to stand up for the word of God and what it says. You know what I would love to hear? More of them who say they believe in the scriptures to stand up for Christ in it. To tell the people on camera, though it might be edited, I'd say it anyway. Stand up for Christ. Stand up for Jesus. Karl Marx once said, he's all right for another 10 minutes. Karl Marx once said, religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature. It's because Karl Marx didn't know Christ. He said, the heart of the heartless world and the soul of the soulless conditions, it is the opium of the people. That's what he said about you and I. In Soviet Russia, Vladimir Lenin vowed to eradicate Christianity. Something to tell you, Vladimir Lenin, if you were alive today, that is, you're dead. And Jesus' church still goes on. Today, those on the left in the Western world generally support secularization. And you'll hear the word progressivism. Now here, when you hear we are a progressive society, and there's ways we have to progress, I understand that. But generally what they mean, when we are a progressive society, it means really we don't have any of the Word of God. When we are progressive, we want nothing to do with the Word of God. When we are progressive, it means we're coming out of the backwater that Northern Ireland was holding forth the book and the blood. That's what it means. And the progressivism in society is a further step away from the scriptures. You remember that? Every time you hear those who were mentioned on, and they say, oh, we live in a progressive society. That means, yeah, women can have an abortion on demand. That's what it means. That a child can be slain right up the birth in the womb. That your children will have to sit under these monsters listening to them as they pervert their little minds. That's progressive. I'll tell you what it is. It's digressive and it's away from the Word of God. And that is the communism of the left. The right was raised up in opposition to conservative right people, pardon me, for the conservative right people. And the conservative right believe in traditional family values, a nuclear family, and I have to remind you that in many cases, even those who say they're right, they're not on the right. They're more on the left. So Ecclesiastes, as I run this to a close, chapter 10 and verse 2 says, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. In other words, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. And I try the reins, he says. And that heart runs after the left things of the heart. And if the heart is right, I'm talking about right politics. Yes, of course, I understand what they mean. But if a heart is to be right, a heart should chase after the things of God. No matter what political party you're in. Brother, sister, can I say, you might feel like I've given up on all of them. I don't want to vote for anybody. That's fine. That's up to you, who you do or don't. But when you sit at home, and you have somebody who's against abortion and RSC and stands up for biblical principles, they may not be perfect in everything that we would like them to do, but we have no voice in there to say, no, this next bill coming in, driven through by the left, we have no standing there. Remember, Christendom, the nations of Christ that were once Christian nations, Christendom is the domain of Christ. And these lesser magistrates who have been put in under Christ should bow to his will. So I'm closing. Right isn't man's own idea of what is right, nor is it his own moral compass. But right is this, Psalm 33 and verse 4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Hosea 14 and 9 says, who is wise and he shall understand these things? Prudent and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. So, dead flies have ruined the ointment in the United Kingdom. And this little bastion of the gospel of evangelical so-called used to be Ulster, the dead flies have caused it to stink in the nostrils of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, listen, and heal their land. I love my country, but I don't like my government. I love this island we live in, but I don't like the governments, north or south. The believer's vote should be that to those who adhere to the word of God. And God bless us tonight. I pray that you shall ponder these things and think wisely. Say, that candidate there, look, listen, even into the Republican group, into or against abortion too, you know that? And we've got so-called men in the Unionist Party who turn around and say, oh, well, one of them says, well, some of them say that they're Christian, yet they support this stuff. How can you stay in a party like that if you're a Christian? How can you? Oh, don't, I may stop there or we'll go somewhere else. Enough. I'm glad I'm saved, are you not? In a world of sin and shame, I'm glad I'm saved. Time when you come up and we'll let the people get a, is there a cup of tea, sir? Yeah, you know, get a wee cup of tea and a chat, one with the other. Praise the Lord.